This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. All right, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. You know, a couple of years ago, I had the honor of meeting someone and actually the honor of getting to know his work. I'm talking about Jack Allis. He's joining us here today. Jack is the author of and spiritual teacher, someone that has been talking about the shift for quite some time. But what is that? What does it mean? Today we're going to get to spend some time with Jack. We're going to talk about, first of all, we're going to talk about the power of ceremony, but more importantly, we're going to talk about 2012. The shift, what it is, what it isn't, and take that conversation to this place of empowerment. He is someone that I so love connecting with. And today, we're going to find out how these guided transmissions, these echoes, these ancient indigenous prophecies, Mayan, Hopi, you name it, how all of this has come together and how Jack has been leading the forefront for all of us to tap in, experience, and become part of that shift. Today you're going to, you know, hear us ask some very interesting questions. I never know where this is going to go when he and I get on air, but I will tell you one thing. By the end of the show, you're going to want to get a copy of his book, and you're certainly going to want to get a copy of his DVD. Jack, it is so great to have you on the show again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, thanks for that wonderful introduction. You make me feel so important. Wow.
Oh, well, I read the book.
All right.
You know, we're going to talk about the DVD. We're going to talk about the DVD, and we're going to talk about the power of ceremony and so forth. But I want to ask you a slightly different question here, if we may.
Of course.
You know, it's been a couple years since you and I have been on air.
3 years, and almost exactly.
3 years. And I want to ask you, in that 3 years, those 3 years that have passed, how has your life profoundly changed? And what epic insight have you gotten about 2012?
Epic insight. Wow. Well, my life has changed. My life has changed absolutely exponentially in those years. And one of the things that I like to say often, Dr. Pat, and I don't say it to brag or to sound arrogant or cocky or anything like that, but I say it to prove or to make a point, and it was a point that I attempted to make in my book, and that is I believe that I am the embodiment of what this is all about, this shift, and you know, how people at this point should be embracing these this transformative energy in which we are just so submerged at this point. Embrace it rather than resist it, because that's really the key to the whole thing, is to, you know, embrace this transformative energy, embrace these changes that are, you know, coming upon us in such a wave, you know, rather than fighting them, rather than resisting them. And those who are fighting them and resisting them are having a really, really hard time right now. And those who are embracing them are just flowering. And, you know, I've been writing about the shift now for, two books, two DVDs, and I think I started writing Infinity's Flower, my second to most recent book, about 6 years ago now that I started writing that. So I've been completely enveloped in this topic now for a good 6 years or so. And I believe that I have been embracing this transformative energy, and I'm attempting to live this message. And again, I don't say this to brag or sound cocky, but I think that I also am kind of exhibiting, you know, what this flowering is all about, because I just feel like a flower that's out there, you know, blooming in the sun and reaching out for the sun and you know, kind of being a part of all this, a part of all this wonderful transformative energy, and kind of taking it up a level in my own life and those kinds of things. Specifically, probably the most important development that's happened in the last in the last 3 years or so for me is I quite often, when people ask me, you know, where the information comes from that I write about, you know, my number one source is, you know, the ancient indigenous wisdom from tribes and from cultures all over the planet, virtually, you know, because they're all basically telling us the same thing. And I have received even more of a submergence into this ancient wisdom. It was 3 years ago, in 2009, 3 years ago, I met a Mayan elder by the name of Tata Omeyaka Hecatl, Eric Gonzalez, and I met him, and I heard him on a radio interview. I had to meet him. I went out to Deer Mountain, California, met him in person, and became a part of his group, a part of his community, and have been participating in numerous ceremonial events, both at Deer Mountain, which is north of Mount Shasta. I've been to three ceremonial events there. I've also been down to his sustainable community that he and his group is building in on the shores of Lake Atitlan in Guatemala at a little community called Patsiapa. And I've also been down there to visit that and to see what they're doing down there. They're basically building sustainable communities in both places, you know, in preparation for this wonderful transformation that we're in the midst of. So that's really been a major, major development for me. This more and more of a submergence into the original, you know, teachings. In this case, of the Maya, as transmitted through Eric. And that's where the message of my books has kind of morphed into a kind of a different kind of message. And the message really is one, you know, when we talk about the shift, and we can talk about the shift tonight, you know, if you want to get into that too, in terms of what it means and everything. But the message now, when I go out and when I'm speaking and when I'm, you know, doing book signings and when I'm at conferences and things like that, the message is that there's really not a whole lot to talk about here. This topic is not as complicated as people make it. We don't need to be getting tweaked out about all these predictions about, you know, when it's going to happen and, you know, what it is that's going to happen and all that kind of stuff that people are getting so, you know, so tweaked out about these days. The message that I'm transmitting is really moving away from the academic part of this and is really getting more into the taking spiritual action part of this. Because, you know, talk is very cheap. I know you've got a talk radio show, and I don't mean to minimize talk. But ultimately, talk is very cheap unless, you know, we take action, you know.
I agree.
Based upon, you know, what it is we're talking about. If the talk is just a bunch of head games, which it is for most people, quite honestly, Dr. Pat, it's just a head game and people never really get down to, you know, taking action, you know, in connection, you know, with whatever it is they're talking about. And this is a very, very important time for all of us to be taking what I refer to as spiritual action. And one of the ways that I've learned to take spiritual action, and I've learned this, you know, from the Maya and from my experience with Eric, actually I haven't learned it, but I've kind of relearned it. It's something that I've always known, and I'm just kind of relearning it and becoming refamiliarized with something that I've already known, and that's the tremendous power of ceremony as far as practicing our spirituality, developing our spirituality, enhancing our spirituality, and kind of, you know, taking spiritual action, basically. So that's another. When I give my talks and my presentations now, they consist of about half talk, and a lot of the talk is, "Hey, gang, there's really not that much to talk about," and the rest of it is kind of demonstrating ceremony, which is something that I think a lot of white folks have in many ways have kind of lost touch with in terms of the importance of ceremony and what it means and how to do it, and you know, there isn't a right way or a wrong way to do it, but the important thing is just simply to do it. And ceremony is basically anything we do to, you know, to take spiritual action, to connect with spirit with our intent, to connect with spirit with, you know, with our vibration. And it consists of, for me, it consists of praying and singing and smoking the ceremonial pipe and lighting candles and sitting and meditating and doing those sorts of things. So there's just a little bit of a snapshot of some of the changes that have occurred over the last 3 years for me, but it's been just an exponential. It's just been exponential change, and it's all been for the good. And one other recent development, as far as, you know, how things are changing for me, is I referred to Tata Eric's community at Deer Mountain, which is north of about an hour north of Mount Shasta in the mountains of north central California. And I just got back from my third ceremonial gathering there. I just got back about a week ago. And when I was out there, a tremendous confluence of things happened for me, and I managed to manifest something that I've been praying for and having a vision about for a long, long time, and that's actually moving to Mount Shasta.
Oh, wow.
And I actually, and I did it in a way that also in the way that I'd been praying it would happen, with virtually no effort. It just virtually came to me. It was kind of a thing where somebody contacted me about one of my newsletters, and they said, hey, you know, I was in Shasta, too. We should have gotten together. I emailed her back, and I said, well, you know, you live there for a lot of years. You know, do you know anybody who, you know, has got a place to rent? You know, would like to move there. She said, yes, I do. It's a tiny cabin, you know, in the woods about 5 miles outside of town, and it's available now, and it's not that expensive. So I said, let me talk to her. And it just all of a sudden happened overnight, and I was what she was looking for, and she was what I was looking for, and I'm in the process of moving right now. So I will now be closer to Deer Mountain and closer to the Mayan community that I'm speaking of, and so things are moving along like a freight train here, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. I feel so blessed and so honored to just have such a wonderful life going in such a wonderful, wonderfully positive direction.
I love what you just said, Jack, and let me tell you why I love this. Because, you know, ever since we started doing the show, ever since the first day I started doing the Dr. Pat show, it's always been about, you know, of course, education, information, but it's been about action. You know, what do you want to do to contribute to the world? And it's so interesting you bring this up, because I don't know if you know about this, but, you know, you're going to hear a lot about it in about the next 3 days. We're part of an event, a monumental event originating in Seattle on September 9th, 10th, and 11th. And it's called One the Event. The website is onetheevent.org. So check it out. Submit a video, Jack. I mean, this is perfect. This is what you're talking about. So here's this firefighter from Seattle who went through all of the emotions around 9/11, the hate, and then the feelings of betrayal. So One the Event is, he has now stepped out to say that this is time for us to shift from fear to love. From hate to love. Now, it's not just about words. This is a man, Jack, that is spending every penny he has saved to launch a mega event Friday, Saturday at the University of Washington, Sunday at Memorial Stadium, webcast worldwide. So, you know, when you're talking about spiritual action, I couldn't help think of this guy. He didn't have a humongous plan. He literally only got this going 3 months ago, and a village has come together. I mean, does any part of that have to do with the shift that you refer to?
Well, I think just about everything has to do with the shift that I'm
referring
to, because this is a monumental. Well, what was the name of that? The name of the event again? I just want to make
it's
sure.
It's One O-N-E, the event. The website for all of you out there, because we are going to need your help and we want you to participate. It's onetheevent.org.
Onetheevent.org. Okay.
I'll
check it out.
We're actually broadcasting 3 days live from there. And on Sunday, I'm doing a radical forgiveness a segment. In front of thousands of people and millions of people worldwide. I mean, because we've all come together. Most of us have come together of our time freely just simply to contribute. So let's talk about the shift for a moment, because, you know, you've been talking about it and inviting all of us to get in the game for years now.
Okay. Let me just reply to what you were saying a second ago.
Okay.
Does this have anything to do with the shift?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Everything has to do with the shift,
mm-hmm.
because the shift is very, very, very big. This is a significantly huge transformative event that we're talking about. So the Hopis were fond of saying, no stone will be unturned. And very often people, you know, misunderstand what all this means. But and let's just sum it up real briefly in terms of what people really need to know about this, because it really doesn't go on very long. I think the last time I was on your show a couple years ago, I maybe talked for about 25 minutes about what people really need to know. Mm-hmm. I think I probably got it down to about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. So essentially, also, people don't need to worry about dates and predictions. They don't need to worry about specific happenings like, you know, the shifting of the poles or anything. Not that those things aren't important, not that the possible shifting of the poles isn't important, and not that there's not going to be Big Bang events going on. But essentially, the shift does not refer to a point in time. It does not refer to a Big Bang event. The shift is more of a process. It's something taking place over time. And we also don't need to get too overly involved in how long the time frame is, because it really is irrelevant. And once we know that the shift has already started and we're in it, that this process has started, then we don't need to worry about how big the window is, how long the time frame is. It really just doesn't make any difference, because it's happening now. And so it is a process. It's not a Big Bang event. It's a process taking place over time. We know that the shift has started. We know that the shift has started not only because it was prophesied for this time and all the prophecies are coming true, but we also know that it started because we can see it happening in our world, and we can also see it happening within ourselves. And the hugeness of this event is also demonstrated by the fact that this is happening on all levels. No stone will be unturned. This is something that's happening in the world external to us as human beings, you know, in the world out there. It's also something that's happening in the world internal to us as human beings. So it's everywhere. We're not only talking about the world, the opportunity for the world to be transformed. We're talking about a wonderful opportunity for us as individuals to be transformed. And here's a really important part of this, for us to be transformed as far as the transformation of our higher consciousness and the transformation of our spirituality. And again, all the indigenous wisdom all agrees upon this. This is a wonderful, wonderful spiritual and higher consciousness opportunity that we have right now. Now, that doesn't mean another thing I really like to say about the shift, because it's so important. When I emphasize the spiritual aspect of it, people often, you know, kind of get confused about they hear about rapture and they hear about the concept of ascension and all that kind of stuff, and moving from the third dimension to the fifth dimension, and, you know, moving out of the material, dimension into a higher frequency, you know, higher dimensional kind of thing. All of that's valid. All of that is a part of this opportunity. You know, that sounds really far out and everything, but that is part of this opportunity, and the possibility for us to do that now is so exponentially greater than it's been for it at any other time over the last 26,000 years. But the other thing people need to know about this is this isn't only an otherworldly kind of thing. It isn't only something that happens on a spiritual level, as in, you know, something that's up in the sky out there, something that's in a higher dimension. There's also a very important worldly aspect of this. In other words, there's a part of this that's happening right here on good old planet Earth, you know, in the third dimensional material world. And this part of the shift has to do with us human beings reconnecting with what it means to be able to live sustainably, to be able to live properly, to be able to live once again not only in harmony with spirit, but also in harmony with the forces of nature, in harmony with Grandmother Earth, and in harmony with, you know, all the wonderful things that we have down here on planet Earth. So there's a worldly part of this, and once we get I tend to think that we need to focus on the worldly part of this first. You know, we need to get it right, you know, in this world first. We need to reconnect with what it means to live sustainably, and to live in harmony with Mother Earth, because that's basically what our civilization has screwed up, and that's one of the reasons why our civilization is in so much trouble right now, is because it's lost those connections. But once we do that, you know, once we we get the worldly part of this together in terms of learning to live sustainably and learning to live in harmony with Mother Nature. One of the things we learn when we do that is we learn all of the spiritual lessons, and we learn that those spiritual lessons aren't only these things that are in a higher dimension. They aren't only those things that are out there in the sky someplace, to use a metaphor. But we learn that spirit is everywhere. Spirit is everywhere and in everything, here on planet Earth. It's in the water, it's in the sky, it's in the plants, it's within the heart and soul of each and every one of us. It's everywhere. So when we get it together in this earthly realm, we reconnect with what it means to be connected with spirit and to be connected with these forces I'm talking about. And on that basis, we're in a position to take advantage of the other dimensional part of this, which is every bit as valid as the other part. So there's all kinds of things going on here. It's really very, very monumental. And people really don't need to know a whole lot more about the shift than that.
In terms of this
transformative time, and people always want to know, what is the transformation going to look like? What's it going to be? What's going to happen? And my answer to that is, I really don't pay any attention to those things whatsoever, because I'm too busy, living in the moment each and every day and attempting to participate in this process energetically. And there's hundreds, there's thousands of possibilities about what could happen here. And I'm open to each and every one of them. And so I think people really can get sidetracked when they get, when they get too distracted by, particular predictions about a specific thing that's going to happen on a specific day or something like that. Even if it does happen, that's not all of it. This isn't just one thing that's going to happen on one day. This is a lot of things happening, over a much longer period of time. So,
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. Let's take a little journey into our pop culture right now. Many people have said that what's going on in the country, the economy, the climate, all of these are signs. And that whenever you talk about prophecy or you talk about something like 2012, folks say, let me point to the sign. Let me show you what this means. And I wanted to ask you, in all of the information that you have been able to gather, we're looking on the outside for signs, Jack. Are we looking in the right place over there?
Well, all that's part of it. But remember, mm-hmm. I said a minute ago that this is in the world external to us, and it's in the world internal to us. So it's all part of the same thing. I personally believe that when we talk about this transformation and when we talk about the most important aspect of the shift, that it really begins within the heart, and it really begins within the soul of each and every one of us as individuals. That's where it starts. Because if we don't get our own act together, we don't have much to contribute to the whole. That's where it starts, and from there it branches out. It branches out into our community, and then it branches out into the world outside of our community. But if people want to, as far as the changes and as far as what the changes are going to consist of, I usually refer to two main categories of changes here. Category number one would be paradigm shifts. In other words, shifting from one paradigm to another paradigm. We've got an old paradigm that's kind of falling apart, and we have the opportunity to create a new paradigm, from the ashes of that. So paradigm shifts is one part of it, and earth changes is certainly another part of it. The earth is participating in this shift also. This isn't just about human beings. This is about our earth, and it's basically about, every particle of our solar system is participating in this process with us. And so earth changes is definitely a very, very important part of this. And Mother Earth is basically screaming out at this time. She's screaming out for cleansing. She's screaming out for purification. She's not going to take much more, and she's just not going to roll over and let humanity, kill her, basically. I mean, she's going to fight back, and that's what she's doing right now. She's rather grumpy right now, and we can see that happening. And believe me, it's happening on a lot larger scale than we tend to believe if we believe everything we hear in the mainstream media. The earthquake activity and the earth changes that are happening around the globe right now are really of a very, very monumental nature. Things are really popping all over the place. And just yesterday we had a large earthquake on almost the entire East Coast.
Yes.
When was the last time you can remember something like that happening?
Never in my lifetime. I actually don't. I don't remember it. And, you know, I was talking to Linda, who, you know, is the producer for the show and, you know, in New Jersey. And she said she couldn't believe what she was feeling. I mean, that's something that somebody in Seattle or California talks about, that kind of thing. But not somebody in Central Jersey, right?
Absolutely. And I'm, and from what I've heard, too, a lot of people are saying that they think that that earthquake was a lot larger than it's being pegged to be. But they said it was 5.9. A lot of people are saying that they think it was bigger. And one of the things that seems pretty obvious about that earthquake, too, was not necessarily the magnitude of it, but the size of it. I mean, there was a lot of geography was touched by that quake.
Huge.
I mean, it seemed like it, you know, was a good chunk of the East Coast felt it. So
well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard of an earthquake reaching that far up and down a coastline?
Well, yeah, that's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Very often in California, you know, it would be rare. For example, when you have a huge earthquake in Los Angeles, you know, very often it would be, you know, barely felt in you know, up in San Francisco, say. It would be, it can be measured on your, you know, on your, you know, seismographs or whatever, but as far as being able to feel it as a person, usually no.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that was a very unique quake, but this is not something that we don't know about. I mean, it's well known that there is a fault line that goes right down the middle of the country called the Madrid Fault Line. And people have been speculating for years that when, you know, the earth changes begin to happen, you know, it may not even happen on the West. Everyone else thinks it's going to be the West Coast. Well, it may not even be on the West Coast. It might be right in the middle of the country on that Madrid line, which is, you know, much older fault line, much less well known. But it is there. So,
it is interesting because we are now acutely aware of these changes. You know, you can't hide anymore, Jack. I mean, you know, what's happening is the technology and the pace of technology is the speeding up is exponential. You know, a few years ago, you were, one too long ago, where you were lucky if you could get a laptop computer that was really a laptop. Now we're carrying around computers that you can hold in your hand, cell phones that connect you to everything in the world. So it's almost as if you can't put your head in the sand around what's going on in the world. I mean, even if you tried, you know what I'm saying?
Well, not only because we're exposed to it in technology, but,
mm-hmm.
but we're also exposed to it in terms of our own experience. I mean,
mm-hmm.
everybody can feel what's happening, and everybody, both on the positive end of the scale as well as the negative end of the scale. Like I said a second ago, there's a lot of people who are resisting this energy, who are fighting it, and invariably they're having a really, really rough time right now. They're having a rough time with their emotions, and they're just having a rough time with their world crumbling, basically. And
yeah.
I don't mean to be insensitive, you know, to this happening. I never like to mm-hmm. see misfortune happen with anybody, but basically they are, you know, they are aligning themselves, you know, with an old paradigm viewpoint and an old paradigm, worldview. And it's that old paradigm world that is the world that, is not going to be able to make it through this because, and it's that old paradigm world basically is, and that's what our civilization is based upon. You know, it's based upon, you know, placing our primary emphasis upon material things over spiritual things and losing our connection with, you know, living in harmony with nature and losing our connection with spirit. And, you know, that's why the old paradigm world is in such trouble right now.
Well, I mean, isn't a perfect example, I don't know if it's a perfect example. It's actually an embarrassing example. An embarrassing example is what went on in our government here around the budget. I mean, I really don't follow politics very much, but it was so interesting how many people wanted to talk about that. And you know, the minute I took a snapshot and looked at it, and trust me, the only reason I paid attention to it is a friend of mine asked me to help her make a smart decision about the stock market. Now, that is not a place I live. But my very brief four-hour involvement in the dynamic that was going on, it literally scared me. It did, Jack. And I think what scared me about it is it seemed so ancient. It almost seemed like ancient Romans sitting around some Colosseum waiting for the gladiators to come in and chew somebody up. I mean, I don't know. Am I projecting a little bit here?
You mean ancient in terms of the financial system and the monetary ideas?
Exactly.
Involved?
Yeah. The primitive, when you and I used to sit down and you used to give me a rock and I used to give you a bigger rock and we used to say, oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, our monetary system is one of the things that's in real trouble. And one of the reasons for that is it's built on such a phony foundation. I mean, the way that money is produced and is created in this country is just ridiculous. You know, when you look at the actual mechanisms of money and how it's created, and now we've gotten to the point where they're just running it off on printing presses, and trust me, I definitely believe that when we make the transition to the new paradigm, we're going to do money very, very differently. And I think when we really, you know, get where we really need to be as human beings in terms of, you know, reaching our full multi-dimensional potential, we'll get rid of money altogether. You know, the indigenous people lived sustainably for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They had no money. They did just fine. They traded things, and they not only, they traded labor too. You know, hey, you cook me dinner and I'll work in the
exactly.
field.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right. Yeah.
And it's not as complicated as we make it.
Well, let's talk about indigenous people because, you know, I'm what you call a late bloomer in life. And I want to take a minute to talk about the DVD, 2012 and the Shift and the Power of Ceremony. I'm very fortunate to have the experience of ceremony and, came to me in the 1990s, mid-1990s, when I got to experience what some people call vision questing, what some people call, you know, ritual ceremonies and so forth in sort of that tradition. But what I came to realize that there is a part of me that always valued ceremony. And I wanted to take a minute for us to talk about that, the power of ceremony and the power of when the collective comes together in that way.
Well, okay, and I'm glad you mentioned the part about the collective because, you know, we as individuals, you know, when we connect with our, well, like I said a second ago, when we connect with our highest power as multidimensional spiritual beings, you know, we connect with the fact that we indeed are very, very powerful as individuals. And I'm talking about not only the kind of power we can all see demonstrated in the material world, but these powers we're talking about extend as well into the supernatural realm. And that's really where the bulk of our power is in the supernatural realm. When you talk about things like healing, and a lot of people are beginning to be aware of this, most healing that is really genuine happens on a supernatural level. And I think a lot of people in the healing arenas are beginning to see that now with a lot of the energy healing and a lot of the healing that really goes against, you know, a lot of the rules of the old paradigm as far as healing. So, but the point here is that when we come together as a collective, you know, two of us, 10 of us, 100 of us, 1,000 of us, that multidimensional power I speak of and that supernatural power I speak of just multiplies exponentially, absolutely exponentially. So when there's a significantly large group of us or community of us that are, you know, reconnected with the true source of our power, that really becomes quite significant. As far as ceremony is concerned, Dr. Pat, let me be real clear also. This is also something, let's talk about a little bit about what ceremony is. And I kind of brushed upon it a minute ago, but let's brush upon it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Ceremony is anything that we as human beings do to connect with spirit, with our intent, and with our vibration. Anything that we as human beings do to connect with spirit, with our intent, and with our vibration. And there are lots of different ways to do it. I personally really resonate with the indigenous models, and that's the kind of ceremonies that I've been participating in lately. Sunrise ceremonies where, you know, we're in a circle around a fire, and where there's praying, and where there's singing, and where there's smoking of the ceremonial pipes, and those sorts of things. I really resonate with that kind of a ceremony. That really plugs me in. It really gets me connected. It gets me where I need to be vibrationally, and it gets me where I need to be as far as my intent is concerned. Because if we don't intend to connect with spirit, we'll lose our focus of spirit. We just won't be able to. We can't do it unless we focus on it. And there are so many distractions, you know, in our everyday life and in the world outside of ceremony. There are just so many distractions. It's so easy for us as human beings just to get distracted and to lose that connection and to kind of, you know, allow ourselves to get knocked off track. But many people are kind of intimidated by ceremony. They say, well, you know, I'm not ready to do that yet because I don't have a proper protocol for it, or, you know, I don't have a teacher like you who's teaching me how to do it, and so, you know, I'm just going to wait and, you know, until I can attend a workshop and I can learn, you know, the proper procedures or the proper protocol. And that really is not the proper way to go about looking at it, because anybody can do any kind of ceremony anytime they choose, really. It simply is a question of them, you know, trusting their hearts and trusting their spirits and just doing it. And doing it from within. The place where all ceremony begins, and when I talk about ceremony, I'm talking about meditation can be a ceremony, yoga can be a ceremony. There are so many different things that can kind of fulfill the same objective. But virtually all ceremony begins in the same place. It begins with us sitting still, sitting down, relaxing, breathing. Just about any ceremony that ever was worth anything always begins with the breath. And I've often say to people, you know, if you're looking for a spiritual teacher, if you're looking how to do ceremony, if you're looking how to do these things, if you find a teacher and if it doesn't begin with relaxation, if it doesn't begin with, you know, getting our breath right and breathing, then find yourself another teacher. Find yourself another ceremonial model. Mm. And virtually that, you know, that's really the thing that, that's really the thing that gets the whole thing started. So anybody can do ceremony just by virtue of sitting down, relaxing, breathing, lighting a candle, and then when we talk about praying, praying is really nothing other than talking with spirit. You know, that's all praying is. And you don't have to have a set, you know, prayer that you say every time. There's times when I pray with spirit and I just say, hey, you know, divine spirit, counsel of the grandfathers, you know, I just need to be with you. I just need to talk. Will you listen, please? You know, that's a perfectly legitimate prayer. You know, if it comes from the heart, if it comes from the spirit, from our spirit. So we don't need to make this more complicated than necessary. And then once we start practicing these kinds of things, once we start sitting down, relaxing, breathing, you know, meditating, then we can begin to discover, let's say, our own style as far as ceremony is concerned. For me, singing is just absolutely, and I've got a drum that I play, and I've got shakers that I play, and I've got a couple of singing bowls that I play. For me, singing is absolutely such an important part of ceremony, but for me, that's like a personal thing. That's probably not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once we make the commitment to doing it, and once we take the time to sit down and breathe and begin to do these kinds of things, we can find our own ceremonial style, or we can find our own ceremonial teacher, you know, something, you know, with which we resonate and which really, you know, fits the way we want to do it. So there's no one way to do it. But the important thing is that we do it. And then, even more importantly,
yeah.
And every time I pray, every time I do ceremony, I always say this. It's so important for us to take the intent of that ceremony, to take the vibration of that ceremony, and to take it with us. To take it with us when we leave the circle. To take it with us when we leave the ceremony. And to endeavor to live our lives with that intent, to live our lives with that vibration. You know, to take it with us each and every moment of life. Because that's where these things, you know, really become very, you know, transformative in terms of if we can succeed at living each and every moment of our life with that ceremonial vibration. And for me, the ceremonial vibration is one of feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, gratitude, and trust. Once we can begin to live our entire life with that vibration, that's when things really start to change, and that's when we really begin to flower as spiritual beings.
Well, and let's talk about, you know, the date that people are zooming in on here. When we're, you were talking about the new paradigm.
They're zooming in on so many different dates.
Exactly.
Do you mean December 21st, 2012?
Let's just talk the most popular date that's out there. But you're right. There are a bunch of them out there. I've heard everything from December 11th to December 12th. Somebody explained to me it's not December 21st, that they mixed it up. It should be December 12th. Honestly, whatever the date is, I think the bigger question is, what is the new paradigm going to look like? You know, whatever that date is going to be, you know, what is the meaning of it for people? What are they, you know, folks that are hearing this, you know, what should they know? What should they do?
Well, the primary thing, there's a bunch of questions, bunch of different questions. What's the new paradigm going to look like?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
One thing. What should people do? Let's start with what should people do. People should be able to should remind themselves again that this primarily is a spiritual opportunity, and it's an opportunity to elevate our higher consciousness. And so that's what people basically should be focusing on. And as far as what people should do is concerned, certainly one thing people can start to do is they can start, you know, connecting with spirit through ceremony. And they can start, you know, doing these things through ceremony. We just talked a lot about that, so we don't need,
yeah.
we really don't need to cover that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that we all learn when we launch on the spiritual path, and I know that you know this, Dr. Pat, I know that a lot of people in your audience also know this. One of the most important things that we learn when we truly launch ourselves on the spiritual path is we learn that it becomes a lifestyle. It isn't just something that we do, you know, for an hour on Sunday. It isn't just something we do a couple of times a week, and then we go back and start living the same crazy way we were living before. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes an in each and every moment thing. I remember one of my favorite authors, Carlos Castaneda, who wrote about the Mexican Indian sorcerer Don Juan.
Right, right.
Don Juan always used to talk about the life of a warrior. He always referred to a warrior, and that was his model. And for him, a warrior was, as he called it, a warrior was impeccable. And a warrior was a person, man or woman, who lived each and every moment of their life as if it was their last moment on earth. So in other words, you know, this becomes a lifestyle thing. In one of the most important things we do as far as our lifestyle is concerned, as far as what can people do, is the first and foremost thing that everybody can do, and this may sound really simplistic when I say it, but it really, really is huge, because this, again, is one of the real problems that our civilization is having right now. We can reassume complete responsibility for every aspect of our lives. Reassume complete responsibility for every aspect of our lives. And again, this is one of the secrets of the indigenous people. You know, they did everything for themselves. They didn't have anybody providing them with welfare or you know, providing their energy or providing their food or you know, taking care of them from cradle to grave. You know, they took care of themselves from cradle to grave. They took complete responsibility for their own lives. And that's one of the things that we in the civilized world, we've really kind of lost that in terms of we've kind of given our responsibility away. We've given it away to the government. We've given it away to the powers that be. And they're more than happy to take care of us. And they're more than happy to run us and control us and do everything else that they do. We've tended to give away this responsibility. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, people are losing it and becoming, you know, weak and ineffective is they've given up their responsibility. They're looking to be taken care of. You know, as opposed to taking care of themselves. So it all begins with taking responsibility. Part of taking responsibility is attempting to learn how to live sustainably again. And I know this is something we've all become so divorced from this that it's kind of hard to get back to it. It's kind of hard to remember how to live sustainably, you know, because we haven't done it in so long. But endeavoring to live sustainably, to live minimally, that's another aspect of our lifestyle that changes because, again, one of the things we learn on the spiritual path is we learn that the spirit will provide everything that we need in this world, you know, as long as we're living with the right vibration. And one of the things we learn is we really don't need that much. And one of the things that's killing our civilization is the excess that's involved. Everyone just wants as much as they can possibly get and so much more than people actually need. To be able to live on the basis of just using what we need and giving back, you know, whenever we're done, you know, taking whatever we need to subsist, and we give back, you know, we give back to the earth and we give back to whatever is, you know, providing those things that we need. And I know a lot of people aren't real big fans of living minimally. They think that sounds like, you know, we're self-sacrificing or, you know, we're like a monk in a cell just meditating all day long and chanting all day long or something like that. But that's not it. That's not it at all. We can live minimally. In other words, just, you know, using what we need and not more than what we need. And we can still experience each and every pleasure that there is to be experienced, you know, in this life and in this material world. You know, I live very minimally. and I live a very, very satisfying, a very, very pleasurable life, very sensuous life, and I'm not, I don't think I'm missing anything. The only thing that I'm missing is, you know, excessiveness and overdoing it and living a life that's, you know, out of whack, out of balance. So there's a very long-winded answer to what we can do, because it basically involves our entire lifestyle and, you know, taking responsibility for it and living the impeccable life of spiritual warriors.
Yeah, and you know, a couple of the things you talked about, and let's just talk about this idea of living simply, minimally, whatever the language is. I mean, honest to goodness, if people were to look at, and I'm not saying everybody is in this particular situation, Jack, but you know, if let's just say a majority of the people in this country were to take a look at everything they own and made a conscious decision to own 30% less, it would be a contribution of some sort.
And, it would be huge. You know, it would be huge.
It would be huge. And I mean, and I don't even mean, okay, don't buy anything. But let's say that instead of, you know, going out and buying everything new, we just thought about just keeping things in circulation. But even that paradigm is a real leap for someone. I guess that's why you call it the shift.
Or how about just buying what we need? I mean, you know, I've got a lot of nice things here. And right now, for example, I need a new pair of shorts. And
right.
So for me to go out and buy a nice pair of shorts and what the heck, even spend, you know, maybe $50 on a real nice pair of shorts at Abercrombie and Finch or something like that, that's okay. I'm into that. That's, you know, that's okay. But because I need a pair of shorts. It's not that
right.
I'm just going to go out and buy five pairs of shorts because I've got nothing else to do and I have a shopping addiction and I feel good when I buy things. You know, no, it's not that. I need a pair of shorts. So go out and buy a nice pair of shorts.
Jack, I want to ask you, about what's happened here in the past 3 years. And I want to ask you about them and how interesting in the timing of the way things are happening. Someone said to me the other day, you know, with all of the things going on, and that was the phrase, with all of the things going on, you know, our focus can't go towards the earth. Our focus can't, people are just not able to get back to that idea of being green and then holding other people accountable. And I just thought, well, this is good. I'm going to talk to Jack about this. Because it's kind of paradoxical, isn't it? You know, the things we're moving away from right now because of other things seem to be the things we need to be paying more attention to. Yet somebody said to me the other day, Jack, they said, haven't you noticed all the people doing good these days? And I wanted to get your sense of this. You know, is this a paradox?
The people, which aspect of it, Dr. Pat? The people doing good or the...
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what side of the coin you're flipping. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's the world we're looking at is, on one hand, there is so much good. We learned how to rally around a cause. We know how to do this, and there's more evidence of it now than there ever has been. The other side of that is we've moved away from some of the things that you've talked about. You know, the idea of making sure we're accountable for the earth, making sure we're accountable for each other. You know, what are we doing? We're building, what, a wall, you know, on the Mexican border? So I'm just trying to ask you, there seems to be such contrast.
Well, there is contrast. Basically, there, one of the ways that I like to see it and talk about it is, it seems to me at this point like the world is basically splitting in two. And the world that it's the two worlds that are coming about as a result of the split are, we have the old paradigm model and we have the new paradigm model, and the two worlds are very, very they don't fit together at all. They're very mutually exclusive. You really can't have you can't have a little bit of new paradigm, a little bit of old paradigm, and there is going to come a point where we're all going to have to choose. We're all going to have to choose, you know, which world we're going to, you know, commit ourselves to, you know, old paradigm or new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is this dichotomy. You know, there is, you know, if you want to call it a lot of a lot of good out there. A lot of, you know, I would refer to the good aspect of this as the new paradigm aspect of this, and then the not so good would be the old paradigm aspect of things. And the only reason that I refer to the old paradigm aspect of things as not so good is because of the connections that have been lost. There's really one, from the point of view of also of a spiritual person, there's
right.
really only one thing that matters in life. And I know that it sounds funny maybe making such absolute statements, but the most important thing in life is that we learn how to flow with natural law. We learn how to flow with the rhythm and flow of nature.
Yeah.
Everything else will spring from that. Now, I know very often people feel like, oh, you know, that's a hard thing to do because, well, the primary reason why people think it's a hard thing to do is because they're so preoccupied with many of the aspects of their old paradigm world that they have a hard time getting unstuck from. For example, people, you know, working 40-hour-a-week jobs, they need the money, they need the paycheck, they got to pay their bills. You know, they're not ready to just quit and, you know, run off to the mountains. You know, it's just not the right timing for that. They just can't do it. So for many of those kinds of people, you know, a lot of the things I'm talking about just really sound like a stretch. You know, I love what he's saying, and I would love to be able to make those reconnections, but right now I got to worry about, you know, going to work tomorrow, and I've got to worry about, you know, being in the friggin' traffic for, you know, both to and from, you know, being stuck in rush hour traffic. I got to worry about paying my bills. I got to worry about my kids going to school. You know, how can I worry about these things? And the thing that I always say to those people is, it's perfectly fine for you to, you know, to keep your old paradigm job because you need the money. You've got to pay the bills, et cetera, et cetera. That's totally acceptable. It's totally understandable. But what's important for people to do is to free themselves in the ways that they are capable of freeing themselves. And the important thing is for people to begin to free themselves as far as their minds, their hearts, and their spirits. You can begin to work on freeing your mind, freeing your heart, freeing your spirit, and you can begin to at least think about these things and begin to kind of pave the way for yourself. And you can still do all those things and still have your old paradigm job and your old paradigm paycheck and your old paradigm bills to pay. You can do that. And there's not a, you know, there's not necessarily a, you know, an inconsistency there or an impossibility there. So the important thing is that we at least endeavor to, you know, free ourselves as much as we're capable of freeing ourselves. And then when the time is right, you know, when we begin to pave the way that we're talking about, when the time is right, we'll be in a position where we'll be able to leave that old paradigm job and we'll be able to run for the hills, or we'll be able to do, you know, whatever it is that we need to do, you know, to be in harmony with this new paradigm model that we're talking about.
You know,
does that answer what you were asking?
Yes, it does. I mean, and I think this is really what people are going through. I mean, my life is a contradiction. And I just say that because, you know, I know two people that have gone in completely different directions. One of them, just recently sold everything she owned, had our dog taken care of, and is on her way to Peru. She's not quite sure what she's going to do in Peru. She knows she's going to be part of the indigenous people in Peru, and she's called to do that. There's no question.
What a courageous leap for her to make.
Courageous leap, but when you look at her and you know her, it is her soul pulling her there. And the courage, I think, is, I mean, you know, the way she said it to me is, you know, my greatest fear is not doing this. She said, I'm not afraid to do this. She said, I'm 35 years old. My greatest fear is not doing it. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? You have just inspired me and probably many other people.
Absolutely.
And I think, Jack, so is your work. I want to thank you for joining me here today. And let's, before you go, I want to make sure people know how to get a copy of the DVD 2012, your books, and to find out more about you. What's the best way they can do that?
Well, the best way is to go to my website. And my website is real easy. It's www.jackallis.com. Last name is A-L-L-I-S. So www.jackallis.com. All the books are there, the DVDs are there, lots of wonderful videos and lots of wonderful, you know, people can go there and have a lot of fun too, and they, you know, there's lots of things to do there. I really emphatically invite people to please, when you go to my website, sign up for my newsletter. All I do is send out one newsletter per month, but it's such an invaluable way for me to stay connected with people, you know, to stay connected with a lot of people. And Dr. Pat, is very, very important for us to be connected these days, us like-minded,
yes,
kindred spirits. Even if we're connected energetically, even if we're connected over the telephone or over the Internet or whatever it is, because if we're not connected, we're not going to be able to make this happen. And so that connection is really important. So please, I invite people to subscribe to my newsletter. It's really easy. Just type your email address in there. And that's it. Everything's there. So, and I thank you, Dr. Bill. Boy, that really zipped by. Wow.
I know. I love it.
Time flies when you're having fun, eh?
Well, I hope you'll come back because there are so many things that we really need to look at. And please check out 1theevent.org. You know, you're able to submit a video and do so many things to be part of that because you're absolutely right, Jack. You know, this is a time for all of us to kind of get together here.
I will check it out, definitely. Thanks for the tip.
Always great to talk with you. Jack Ellis, everybody, please sign up for his newsletter. And if you haven't read his books, please do that. But also 2012 and The Shift, Power of Ceremony. Please check it out, everyone. Jack, thank you for joining us tonight. I want to thank all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. If you've missed any part of this, you can expect the archive to show up here in a couple days. I want to thank all of the folks at BBS touching and pushing all the right buttons and bringing us to you each and every week. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show.
You're stepping down your soapboxes, way too high overgrown, but you can barely see the ground. Or touch the sky, your high horse is taken off and left to you, nowhere to be found, better off dead. Well, so you said, but don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Oh, someday, not somehow, not maybe.